Well, we've heard about Syrian refugees who have just arrived in the U.S., the last to arrive before President Trump banned Syrian refugees indefinitely in that executive order last week, including some in Rutland, Vermont. But what about those in camps in Jordan awaiting resettlement? Nina Keck from Here and Now contributor Vermont Public Radio went to Jordan to find out.
In the bustling city of Amman, midday traffic mixes with tradition as an elderly man sits on the sidewalk playing a wooden oud, the Middle Eastern ancestor of the modern guitar. 9.5 million people live in Jordan, almost half in this sprawling capital city. Since war broke out in neighboring Syria in 2011, hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees have poured over the border seeking safety. So many that today, one out of every 10 people in Jordan is Syrian. At a downtown cafe, four young university students, all wearing hijabs or headscarves, sit at a corner table enjoying coffee and cigarettes. 20-year-old Sondos Gaith says the refugee situation is a huge problem in Jordan, and she says she's frustrated by what she calls the racist U.S. decision to halt resettlement of Syrians and others from predominantly Muslim countries.
We help the Syrians because they're our brothers, and they're very close, and they're Arabs like us. And even if they weren't Arabs, we help anybody that comes into Jordan. We help the Iraqis, the Egyptians. The problem is that the Jordanian economy is very weak and cannot hold all that pressure helping so many people.
The protests, violence, and demonstrations that broke out across the Middle East beginning in 2010 with the Arab Spring greatly reduced tourism to Jordan. Border crossings in the region have further slowed the economy. Jordan is taking on the burden of the Syrian refugee crisis, the young women point out. The international community needs to help, too. Across town, at a sprawling 8-story apartment complex, Syrian refugee children play soccer in an alley strewn with trash. Mohammed Al-Hafeth watches from the sidewalk. A Syrian, he says the bombing and warfare in Damascus got to be too much, and he and his wife and 5 children fled to Jordan 4 years ago. He says they'd concluded 2 interviews and were well into the process of being considered for resettlement to the United States until news of the president's executive order last week.
We got destroyed mentally, myself and my kids. We went down to the ground. There is no more hope at all.
For many other families he knows, it was even worse.
There's a lot of people. A lot of people got destroyed. Some people, they were ready to leave. They sold their furniture. They turned in their apartment. And all of a sudden, they're getting a call from the UN saying that things have stopped. These guys got traumatized big time.
The United States resettles more refugees than any other country in the world and has for years. Despite that, U.S. refugee officials in Jordan weren't commenting on the Trump administration's new policy or what it means for refugees in Jordan. Douglas DeSalvo, a senior protection officer in Jordan with the U.N. High Commissioner for Refugees, was circumspect.
We've seen challenges before, and we've seen security concerns take a dominant role. We've also seen those security concerns addressed successfully. And I think the fact that a very strong resettlement program was able to be maintained not only by the United States, but by many countries and even increased in the years following the 9/11 attacks is a testament to the ability of the systems and the institutions to find ways to continue to respond to the needs that are out there.
But Ahmed Saa, a 36-year-old Syrian refugee who's been in Jordan for almost 4 years, is not sure how much longer he can wait. Standing outside his apartment with his 3 young children, he says they too had completed several security interviews and were hopeful they'd be resettled into the United States, only to be disappointed.
We go through a lot of security clearance here in Jordan before they even take us out. So why does he feel that there's a threat? Why is he banning the Muslims? What have we done? We've been here for 4 years and haven't gotten in any kind of a trouble. Why are they afraid? All we wanted to do is live in peace and provide for our family and contribute to the community.
We just don't understand, he says. We just don't understand. For Here and Now, I'm Nina Keck in Amman, Jordan.